On behalf of New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, London, I greet you all. A blessed Lord's Day. And I pray that each one of us will truly find the Lord, your Savior. We have come to the last sermon of this quarter on our theme, making known His glorious salvation. Last Lord's Day, we have learned from the account of the demon-possessed man who was delivered, who was restored, and who was given a new lease of life, life eternal. Thereafter his conversion, he was commissioned by the Lord to return to his hometown to start telling others about his conversion, about this new life that the Lord has given to him, that granted to him. We read from the passage, if you can recall, in Mark chapter 5, verse 20, that he obeyed the Lord and did as he was told to do. So this morning we come to this question before us. What if I refuse to do? To put it in another way, the question to ask this morning is, what if I refuse to be a witness for the Lord? Or what if I fail to be a witness for the Lord? What will happen to me as a believer? And what will happen to those who have not heard the gospel? The Apostle Paul, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to briefly go through the context of this passage with you. The Apostle Paul in this chapter, in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, commences with the defense of his apostleship in the face of opposition from some quarters in the Corinthian church. The reason for this is, at this time, there are false teachers that have infiltrated the church, just like it is today. It is no difference from the days of old. So the church in Corinth is infiltrated with false teachers, and not only are they teaching false doctrines to the believers there, they are also opposing the apostleship of Paul. And so Paul discusses his right for financial support by those whom he ministered to. And you see this in verses 3 to 14. He explained to them, he expounded to them. Actually, he has every right and title to their support. But then he was willing to give all this up, all his right. He was willing to forfeit all that is due to him, so to speak, for the sake of the gospel, to win others to Christ. And so this he explained in verses 15 to 27, which our chairman has already read to us. And I just want to briefly explain to you the context before we look into verse 16. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul is not denying that he is boasting. Because if he is denying that he is boasting, then he would not have said in verse 15, "For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." The word glorying there can also be rendered as boasting. What he meant to say there is that Paul valued this great honor granted to him to preach the gospel. He valued all this honor far above all his rights, far above all his rights to be supported. He valued that. And far above the value of his own life, that he's prepared to die if this honor and this glory is taken from him to preach the gospel. He would rather die than to have this honor of preaching the gospel to others made void or made empty and be maligned by others that he is preaching the gospel for money's sake. So he went on in verse 16 to show that the only ground for his boasting or for his glorying in preaching the gospel to others is because he is able right now to preach the gospel freely, without charge. No man is going to accuse him that he preached the gospel for money, because he deprived himself. He does not want to receive support from the church. Yes, he does receive gifts, but he does not receive a salary, so to speak, for his preaching. He freely preached the word of God to others. Why? And without charge. Why? Because he is duty bound. The word there, necessity. For necessity is laid upon me. He is duty bound as the commissioned apostle of Christ to preach the gospel. And if he does not do so, he is saying this, if he does not do so, he says, woe to me. Which is to say, he will stand under the divine judgment of God if he fails in his duty as the appointed apostle to preach the gospel to others. He will stand under the divine judgment if he fails to fulfill his divine appointment to preaching the gospel of Christ. Now for us, is there an application for us? Sure. We may not be commissioned to preach the gospel like that of the Apostle Paul. We may not be commissioned to preach as the pastors of the preachers up in the pulpit. But certainly, those of us who are saved by sovereign grace, those of us who are believers, we are certainly under the gospel obligation to proclaim, to go and to proclaim, or to make known the good news of salvation to those who are still outside the kingdom of God, outside the kingdom of light. We are under gospel obligation. For those of us who declare and confess that you are a believer, we are obligated. Having briefly explained to you verse 16 and giving you the context, we want right now to consider three important lessons from this verse, verse 16, which is our main meditation this morning. We are taught here in verse 16, firstly, the obligation to preach or to proclaim the gospel. To preach, the word to preach is to bring, to proclaim, to declare, or to announce. That is the meaning of the word in the original, to preach. So preaching or to preach is to bring, is to proclaim, is to announce, is to declare the gospel. The gospel can also be rendered as the good news or good news of salvation to others. That's what we are obligated to do. But you may say that, well, I'm not called to preach. Yes, you are right. Not every one of us are called to preach as preachers or as pastors or as evangelists. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. However, every believer is called to be a witness for the Lord. Is it not true? Are we all not called to be witnesses for the Lord, for those of us who are Christian, for those of us who are believers? Though not everyone is called to preach the gospel, but every believer is called to testify for the Lord what great things he has done in our lives. We are instructed to do that. And very clearly, where does that come from? Where does the commandment comes from? It comes to us from Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, before Jesus ascended to heaven. This was the commandment he gave to his disciples and gave to us. Believers are disciples of the Lord Jesus, and this command is clearly for us in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And you remember the account, I hope you have not forgotten, last week's sermon, and that account of the demoniac man in our study last week. What did Jesus say unto him at the end when he desired to follow the Lord Jesus? And we see in there the effect or the fruit of true conversion. What do we see there? Jesus say unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and have compassion on thee. Mark 5:19. And so we, those of us who are saved, those of us who are born again, those of us who are delivered, and you said that you are delivered, you said that you are a born again Christian, you profess and confess to the whole world that you are a born again Christian, but are you going out like this demoniac man, which he did? We read that he did. He went back to his hometown. He go to bring, to proclaim, to declare, to announce the gospel. And to announce the gospel is not to announce part of it, not to announce some of it, but all of it, the whole gospel. This is what we ought to declare. When we do go out to witness for the Lord, when we say a word for the Lord Jesus to our friends, to our family members, when we share the gospel of salvation, how the Lord has delivered us, we are not to go to them and just talk something about it from the Bible. No, we are to declare every counsel of God, every doctrine, every teaching in the Bible, every truth in the Bible ought to be made known to those who are still outside of the light. That's what we are told to do. Do not go out and then to declare something about the gospel or some portion of it. No, the whole truth, the whole Bible. Give them the whole counsel of God. Therefore, to begin with, brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who are believers, those of us who are so graciously delivered by grace, we are first of all to begin with, make very sure you and I know and make every effort to know the Word of God. To know the Word of God. If you do not know the Word of God, if you do not yourself understand the whole counsel of God, how are you and me going out to bring this good news to others? You will give a very hazy story about the whole thing or the whole account of it because you are not firmly grounded in the Word of God. And therefore, make every effort. To begin with, you and I, we are to make every effort to study, to meditate, to seek the help of the Holy Spirit in the understanding of Scripture, in the understanding of biblical truth and doctrines found therein. We are not to go to them to just simply talk to them, explain a few things here and then about the gospel. No, brethren, we are to go. How are we to go? How are we to go to proclaim, to declare, and to announce, and to share the good news to others? We are to go to them in love, in compassion. Will you be influenced or persuaded to buy a product if the salesperson comes to you non-challenged, can't really be bothered about the product? You ask a question, then he'd explain to you about the product. And if you don't ask the question, he will just say, buy, buy. You will not be persuaded, will you? But if one comes to you with full enthusiasm, with life, with love, with conviction, that he is so convicted of the benefit of this product, will you not be affected by his so-called sales speech? Sure, sure you will. And so likewise for us, those of us who declare so loudly that we are saved by grace, and then we go to our friends, well, you know, would you like to come for a gospel meeting? Oh, you're not free. Oh, okay, it's all right. Some other time. No, friends, don't give up. Persuade them. in love and in compassion. And moreover, go with them. Go with the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. Pray before you speak to that someone about the good news or of the good news. Go sincerely to them. Tell them, persuade them with passion from your heart. Not just say a word here and there, but to go to them, to help them to see their predicament, their trouble, their sin, the life that they are in. They are in danger. Go to them in compassion and with love to share that good news with them, to persuade them, not talk about it, not just make known about it, but make sure you explain everything that is needed to be explained to them, to their hearts, to their minds, impress upon their minds, impress upon their hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit. For this is the work of God and not yours. We are only instruments. Remember that. We are only instruments. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you can talk all you want, scream and shout all you want, explain every single doctrine of the Bible all you want till your throat grows sore. The person will not be persuaded. Only when the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, as you speak, as the Holy Spirit leads you, then only then, can that word be brought to bear upon their hearts and upon their minds. Now, how then can we effectively bring, proclaim, and make known the good news to others? How are we to tell others what great things the Lord has done for us? Well, we can proclaim or declare by word of mouth. We can go to our family members and our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, and our classmates and others, to tell them the gospel with the God-given faculty of the tongue. We are given this gift not to gossip, not to make others a subject of our conversation and say that it is fellowship. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes, including myself, we are guilty of that. We make others a subject of our conversation in the church and we say that we are having fellowship. And that is gossiping. That is backbiting. It is not true. We are to use this God-given faculty of the gap, of the tongue, of the mouth to declare the gospel. James said, it should not be that our tongues, the same tongue using to praise the Lord and the same time we use it to curse others and to criticize others and to backbite. It should not be for believers. And so we are given the God-given faculty to declare. We have no excuse to say that we can't. Every one of us is given this. Well, yes, some of us are given the gift of the gab, so to speak. But surely with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can say a simple word for the Lord Jesus. And so you hear what the psalmist says. In Psalm 71, verses 22 to 24, the psalmist tells us this, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Listen to this, verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness, what? All the day long. Psalm 71, verses 22 to 24. Our tongue, as what the psalmist say, is to talk of the righteousness of God all the day long. That's what we should employ our tongue to do. Brethren, can you not feel the heartbeat of the psalmist here? My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing. And are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you truly thankful to the Lord that you are born again, that you are delivered, that you have been saved by grace, and right now you are enjoying the blessing of grace? Is it not a blessing and honor right now for you and me to come into the house of the Lord in quietness, in peace, in security, to worship and to receive the Word of God? Are you not blessed with the Word of God? Do you know there are many Christians around the world who do not even have a Bible? And right now, you and I here, we have the Bible at any time. As long as that Christian bookshop is open, you, with your money, you can go in to buy your Bible, isn't it? Are you deprived? No, you are not. You have the freedom to walk in and out anywhere for worship, isn't it? Are you not blessed? There are many, do you know that? That do not have this freedom, do not have this beautiful sanctuary to worship in. And yet we are sitting down and not doing anything, and we declare to the whole world, we are believers, and we are so comfortable to warm the pews every Sunday. But during the week, from Monday to Saturday, what do we do as Christian witness for the Lord? There are other ways. What other ways of proclaiming, of declaring the Word of God? By writing. By writing a note to your friends. If you say that, well, you do not have the gift of the gab, can you not write? Can you not give out a tract? Can you not, with a kind act, a kind Christian act, impress upon that someone that you are a Christian, and in that way that you can make and make a witness for the Lord and testify of the work of God in your lives? Can you not be showing kindness and help to others who are outside the kingdom of God? That is another way of declaring the Word of God. That is another way of making known what the Lord has done for you, by living out the gospel in your daily life. And to me, that is the most powerful testimony, and that is the most powerful message that you can ever declare and proclaim for the Lord. And that is by living your life as a believer, living out the gospel every day in your life. As the saying goes, action speaks louder than words. It's no point you and I standing under the sun and the rain in the winter cold to give out tracts, and when our lives is totally an opposite of what the gospel is. Actions speak louder than words, and so let us, with our Christian conduct, so shine before men that non-believers may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Moving on to the second point, we are taught secondly from this verse that preaching the gospel is not for self-glory. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." 1 Corinthians 9:16. For us, for those of us who are preachers, for those of us who are handling the Word of God, you know what is our greatest fear? Do you know what is our greatest temptation as preachers up in the pulpit and as pastors and evangelists? It is not money. It is not the fear of power. But it is the fear and the temptation of pride in the pulpit. When more people are coming to hear the Word of God, when the pews begin to fill with more people, when more comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where our trouble starts for the preachers. Do you know that? If he is not watchful, if he is not sober, if he is not vigilant, he will suffer a great fall. And that is what we are facing. I just want to share with you what C.H. Spurgeon, the prince of preacher, he has this to tell us. Especially those of us who are preachers, those of us who are Sunday school teachers, and those of us who are Bible study leaders, those of us who handle the Word of God. This is what he says. Many men have been held up by the arms of men. Many men of God, referring to preachers and pastors and those who are called into the full-time ministry. Many men have been held up by the arms of men. Listen to this. They have been held up by the arms of praise and not of prayer. These arms have become weak, and down they have fallen. I say there is temptation to pride in the pulpit, but there is no ground for it in the pulpit. There is no soil for pride to grow on it, but it will grow without any. But it will grow without any. Brethren, I urge you, children and friends, those of us who are in the business of proclaiming the word of God, watch. Those of us who go out to tell others of the good news ought to watch and pray lest we let the sin of pride overtake us so suddenly and we fall a great fall. Do you know, and I'm sure you have heard oftentimes, even from our own lips and from myself too, how oftentimes we have said this and have heard this: I was the one who brought so and so to the Lord. I was the one who led this person to Christ. Is it not true? So oftentimes we just let this out of our mouth. I was the one who brought this so and so to our church. Oh, let us be reminded by the words of the Apostle Paul, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to glory of. Why? Why did Paul say that? It is simply because he is so conscious of his own imperfection. And therefore, we ought to always remember of our imperfection. We are only sinners saved by grace. He, Paul, knows it is the power of God through the Holy Spirit that has enabled him to preach the gospel. Paul realized that, and therefore he is humble. He knows that it does not come naturally from within him. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in and through him. Therefore he can preach the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit who gives him that understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who illumines his mind and his heart with the truth of God before he can preach the truth of God. It is the Holy Spirit, the divine author of the Word of God, who illumines your heart and my heart and my mind and your mind in knowing what to preach. It is the Holy Spirit who will grant us utterance of God's Word. It is the Holy Spirit who will grant the Lord's messenger his Word before he can declare the whole counsel of God to his people. To sum it up simply, we who are believers, all of us, we are what we are as believers, and all that we have as believers comes from God. Our abilities, our spiritual gifts, our inspiration, our motivation to proclaim and to declare and to announce the Word of God or the good news, all comes from the bestowment and the endowment of the Holy Spirit, of God Himself through the Holy Spirit, to give to us all that we needed to proclaim the gospel. It is the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that all that we have, all our gifts and talents and capabilities, comes from the Lord. What is there for us to boast about? What is there for us to glory about? And especially for us who are preachers, do you know? So please do not, if you are truly blessed by the word of God, don't go up to the preachers to say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I like your message this morning, I'm touched." But just simply tell him, "Thank God for the word." And full stop. Don't do anything else, don't say anything else, because let me tell you, and this is speaking from experience, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and children, we are also human. We are also sinners saved by grace. We are no different from you. When we are up here, we are only empowered by the Holy Spirit. When God decides to remove that Holy Spirit from us, so to speak, or remove the power of the Holy Spirit from us, we are just like Samson bald, shaved, nothing left. And so I urge you and I covet your prayers for the preachers, for the pastors, for those who are in the ministry. We are like what the Lord said to Peter. We are like wheat that Satan is sifting us, just like that. So pray for us, brothers and sisters. Let us not boast. Whatever we have are on loan to us. We are only steward and stewardess of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. Let us rather be thankful to God and use what are loaned to us for His service and for His glory in the winning of lost souls for Him. The third lesson we are taught here in this verse 16, is the penalty for silence. The third point is, of course, in answer to this question, what if I refuse? What if I refuse? The answer is quite obvious, isn't it? To those who are believers, and you kept quiet, and you do not tell others of the good news. For the Apostle Paul, he says of himself, "Woe is me! Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And therefore, woe is you and me if we do not proclaim and declare the gospel to others. If we ever keep silence, that is what Paul is saying. If I ever keep silence and do not speak the word of grace for my Lord, then I deserve to come under the divine judgment of God. That is the meaning of the rendering of woe to me. That Paul is saying, if I ever stop preaching the gospel, then I deserve to come under the divine judgment of God. He does not have the liberty. Paul is saying he realized that necessity is laid upon him, which is again, as I said before, Paul is duty bound, and so are we. We, though we are not commissioned apostles, so to speak, but we are definitely commissioned witnesses for the Lord. And if we are commissioned witnesses for the Lord, and if we do not declare and proclaim the gospel to others, therefore we are also under the divine judgment of God. You and I do not have the liberty per se to not to preach the gospel, or to preach the gospel as and when we like only. No! You and I, as born-again believers, as one who is a recipient of the manifold grace of God, of the mercy of Lord, we can do nothing except to go out to tell others of what great things the Lord had done for you. And if you are not doing that, brothers and sisters, children and friends, I think we must go back to the first stage. Are you born again? If you have no fire, no desire, no enthusiasm at all, and if you no interest at all to share the gospel to your neighbors, at least to your family members and loved ones who are outside Christ, then I would have to question whether in the first place you are born again. Can one who is delivered from near death, can one who have suffered from cancer and delivered completely, can that person who is delivered from near death, sit down quietly, keep silence, and do not tell others who are suffering from cancer the way of deliverance? Can that happen? And if that is so, I think that person is really, really ungrateful. Ungrateful to be delivered. That he or she who is delivered from that near-death illnesses can right now comfortably sit down with a clear conscience and not to go out and tell others how he or she was delivered. Friends, brethren, and children, can you and I keep still, sit and watch in comfort those of your family members and loved ones, friends and neighbors, perish under the righteous judgment of God? Can you do that? If you can, I suggest that you go back home and think through. Are you really born again? Are you really saved by grace? Have you not tasted the grace and mercy of the Lord? And if you have, and yet you can continue to sit quietly in comfort without that urge, without that stirring of the heart to go out to tell your family members and loved ones, to those who are perishing in their sin, who those who are going straight into eternal damnation, can you sit still and don't warn them? I want to close with this verses from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. I read to you. And please consider this very, very carefully. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Maybe we shall read together. Are you there? Ezekiel chapter 3 verses 17 to 21. Shall we read together? Ready? Son of man, can we read together? Ready? Begin. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous is sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. I think you all here do not need me to further elaborate what all these verses is talking about. It suffices to say that as children of light, we are duty bound to warn, to tell, to proclaim, to make known the gospel of salvation to others. We are under gospel obligation to make known what great things the Lord had done in your life, and what great things the Lord continue to do and to work out in your life. Is it not true? Is it not true we are enjoying the grace of God day by day as He lends us breath each day? Has the Lord stopped blessing us? The Lord continue to pour forth His grace upon us. And yet can we sit down still and not go out and tell others what great things the Lord has done for us? Can you and I refuse to do that? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to take heed. Help us, Lord, not to take this as a joke. Help us, Lord, not to take your word for granted. May your Spirit, Lord, impress thy word upon our hearts and our minds, that we may take heed of thy warning, and help those of us who are handling your word, that we may watch, be sober, be vigilant, lest the sin of pride overtakes us. O Father in heaven, we pray that you will bring us, thy people, to a full understanding of your word, and help us to respond to your word, that we may be doers of your word, and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.